This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. Listen to supporter community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And you're listening to North State Give and Take.
Monica McDaniel and Mary Gardner from the Chico Arts and Culture Foundation. They're going to talk a little bit about the foundation, an event that's coming up, and a little bit about Monica. So welcome, you two.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Good.
Thank you so much, Bobby.
Great. So let's hear a little bit about the foundation.
Okay. So when the Arts Commission was formed back in the late 80s, early 90s, one of the conditions for that was to form a nonprofit auxiliary so that the arts wouldn't be solely funded from the city revenue, but it could become self-sustaining. And that was Article Number 5 of the Fine Arts Master Plan. And when I got on the commission, so much good work had been done, but that particular one hadn't been done. So I said, why don't I take that on? It was 2009 when I was appointed to the commission by the then city council. Within 2 years, I became chair for my first term as chair on the commission. And I said, let's tackle that Article Number 5. And so Mary actually helped me because she was city staff at the time and the city staff liaison with the commission. Other commissioners and myself, we looked into forming an autonomous nonprofit, 501c3. We landed on going with the North Valley Community Foundation as our fiscal receiver. So that way, North Valley Community Foundation holds the city's money that we raise on behalf of the Chico Arts and Culture Foundation. That was back in 2011. And immediately I took the task doing board development and creating things. And it's hard to create a nonprofit, sustainable something out of nothing. And Mary told me back then, oh, it's going to take you about a decade, Monica. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, I don't know if I have 10 years worth of time to commit to something like this. Well, that was, like I said, 2011. Now it's 2022. So, and the nice thing about the Chico Arts and Culture Foundation is that over the years, it's gained momentum. We have a robust board of volunteers now. And we're doing amazing programs. One of the programs that we do is the downtown art tours to raise awareness of the city's public art collection and to talk about how each of those pieces was funded. The arts often get negative vibes or press or they're kind of minimized because it's always seen as frivolous spending. I think some people think of arts, quote unquote, as like the painting you hang in your living room, but it's really much more than that. And that's why we added the word culture to the foundation's name, because it's about programming too. It's about events that bring people together in some sort of joyous way. And there's usually an artistic component to that, whether it's a music festival or it's a, you know, quilting circle or cooking class, or whether you play in a band or whether you do ceramics or painting or anything. So Chico Arts and Culture Foundation's main mission is to provide advocacy and resources for artists and arts organizations.
And one of the things that we really want to get in there is an event that you have coming, one of your events.
Yes. Every summer we've been doing art tours, public art tours, for, gosh, Mary, how many years? It has to be seven. This has to be our seventh year doing them.
And well, we had to take a break with COVID for 2 years. But yes, we started them about 7 years ago. And they've been really, really successful. I think the downtown art tours is a great segue, Monica, with what you were talking about in terms of arts and culture, you know, that it is a broader, bigger umbrella that we are advocating for, because the tours themselves, we call them the downtown art tours, but it brings in so much history. You know, often when we're doing the tours, many people comment on how often the artist's subject matter is the history of Chico or the environment of Chico, the ecosystem, what goes on now. We have a mural, the downtown kaleidoscope mural that depicts everything that happens in the downtown, including the farmers market and different performances and the Friday night concerts. And, you know, so the art, yes, we are looking at art while we're on the walk, but we are also really enjoying the rich cultural heritage and current state of culture in Chico. And to the point, it is our last tour of the season is Saturday, October 1st. We meet at the Hands at 10 a.m. on Saturday, October 1st, where on 4th Street, where the Hands meets Wall Street right there.
Yes.
And the tour takes about an hour. And of course, it's only a small fraction of the artwork in Chico, but it is a very rich and dense area for art, the downtown. So we look at the benches and the sculptures and the murals, and we have different kinds of experiences along the way. The public along the way often notices us and might even join in and ask a question, but they're really fun and informative. And it's going to be beautiful weather this October 1st. I looked, and it's just going to be absolutely gorgeous. So we are really looking forward to this final tour of the season.
So I'm trying to picture it. So people gather. About how many people gather?
You know, it depends. This summer, we've had some incredibly successful tours. I think the first one, I think we had 35 people. Normally, it's around 12 to 15 people.
Okay.
That's about the normal sort of group. But for whatever reason, it ebbs and flows. And the beginning of the summer was very active. I think people are just really hungry to get out and do things right now after being shut down for so long. And of course, it's outside. So even if you're a little on the fence in terms of the pandemic, it's a very safe place to be. And you can even physically distance a little bit if you need to. We have a microphone so everybody can hear. It's just a great outing.
Neat. And so as you go, you're kind of letting people know where this art is from, who did this art, how long it's been there. So it's you know, a historical educational walk.
It is. Absolutely. And Monica, you want to chime in a little bit on some of that?
Yeah. And the other thing that we inform the public about is how things got funded, because that can be one of the criticisms about public art programs, is that sometimes it's seen as possibly detracting from other things. But one thing I've learned about working with the city is that there's always a variety of funding revenue sources. And so we like to educate the public about the history and how things were built, and about the maintenance of the city of Chico's public arts collection. And like Mary said, featured in many of these public pieces are aspects that are of things that are important to Chicoans, like the parks, the creeks, the people, and in our community. And you'll see in our watershed, and you'll see those themes throughout the public arts collection for the city. I also want to add that even though October 1st is our last scheduled tour of the season, the Chico Arts and Culture Foundation really loves doing custom tours for organizations. We've done tours for Ollie before. We've done tours for Scouts before. If anyone wants to book us for a tour for an event or for some sort of party, we are happy to do that also. And we just kind of want to share that this is the last one that we have scheduled, but we're always open to doing tours.
Give me the website. Is it chicoartsandculture.org?
Exactly.
All run together.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. And any information that people would want is probably there, phone numbers and things like that, if they want to talk to somebody.
Yes. In fact, someone just called me this morning who's looking. Her husband is part of the construction management program at Chico State, and they're having an event in October, later in October, and she wants to book a downtown art tour for a group of people. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that it's really easy for us to do. And the tour guides are all very experienced and know the information really well. So anybody that's interested, just give us a call.
Just real quick, a few things that I'm thinking about downtown. The Hands, of course.
Right.
And a number of murals.
Right.
My stepson is Jed Spear, who has a
number on the Arts Commission. Yep.
And a number of his murals are around town.
We love his murals. He's really activated the mural scene after we had for years. Scott Teeple was the downtown muralist, but I think Jedrick Spear has stepped up and really brought things into the present, which I love, and it's a whole different style. They're so energetic and colorful. Yeah. They're beautiful.
Also, Bobby, the thing to know about murals is that even though they're in the public right of way, every mural is on a privately owned piece of property. So murals in and of themselves are actually kind of a private art in the public right of way. And so that's one of the things we educate the public about, is that the city doesn't have anything to do with the murals that are up or with their restoration or their maintenance. But that when they pop up, that's sort of a gift to the public. You know, and Jedrick has been really great to help us understand about mural restoration and preservation, because he's so knowledgeable about that particular medium. And he's helped us figure out that things like the Scott Teeple murals, like Mary was mentioning, that are, that Scott, of course, passed several years ago, and so we can't have him restoring any of them. But there can be things like ultraviolet protection put on it. Yes. And, you know, there's different things that we can do. And Jedrick's been really great about helping inform us about that.
Yeah, right. You do have to take care of things, especially if it's out in the world.
That's right. And yeah, especially with the harsh climate for Chico, where it gets really cold, it gets really cold, or it gets hot, it gets really
sunny,
hot.
Sunny. Yes. Mm-hmm. So then I was thinking of Elizabeth Devereaux's stuff in the downtown plaza. That's something that comes to my mind. I'm trying to think of some things. I'm going to look more closely when I'm downtown.
Well, then you should come on one of the tours, Bobby.
Yes.
Elizabeth Devereaux, I'm glad you brought her up, because she was such an interesting part of the city. You know, the city had a really robust public art program for about 20 years, and we had different funding sources. And Elizabeth was actually part of the design team that when the plaza was redone, she was sitting at the table with the landscape architect and the engineers and the city public works, and they were working on that design together. And it was a really incredible process and opening for everybody to have an artist there who has it. All artists have a very particular way of problem solving and often bring in ideas that maybe other people might not have thought of.
Yes.
And so that was a really fun, we hope to do more of that in the future. For now, that program's on hold, but that was really fun. And so, yes, she did the mosaic in the middle
and
influenced the design of all the ironwork, the maple leaves the oak leaves. And then there's these beautiful copper elm.
Oh, I know.
At the chess table. So that was a really, really fun project.
Yeah, that's something that I always look at when I go by. But I would imagine there's things that I'm going to be surprised to see.
Yes.
Yeah. And every time we give a tour, people tell us at the end, wow, I walked past that a million times and never noticed it in the way that I'm noticing it now.
Yes.
And that's the funnest part for us, is when people see the world around them, the built environment in a whole new way.
And of course that grows, you know, because then they share that with friends and family and people from out of town, whatever, they can spread the word, right? It's really fun.
Right. Well, and for me as a grandparent, so I run out of things, I got to tell you. Grandkids, entertaining grandkids is interesting. But when I know something about something, I love being able to say, and they're interested in art. I mean, they're kids.
Yes, of course.
So you can show kids, which is, you know, really where it's all going eventually.
Yeah, of course, our future, right?
Yep. So it would be great to know, because I could look so smart to them.
That's cute. Yeah.
You're listening to an interview with Mary Gardner and Monica McDaniel from the Chico Arts and Culture Foundation. And we'll be back. North State Give and Take. My name is Bobby Tryon, and this show highlights some of the nonprofits here in town. And today I am interviewing Monica McDaniel and Mary Gardner about the Chico Arts and Culture Foundation. And this is the second half coming up, and thanks for listening. So now, Monica, this has also led to for you to become more a part of the community in other ways.
Yes, it has. It has. I have decided to run for city council this election cycle. And that's been a whole new thing, just the whole process of running. But it's what's not new to me is city governance and city process and how things move at City Hall. And so I'm actually really looking forward to serving the city in this whole other capacity based on what I've learned over the last 13 years serving five different terms on the commission. When I first joined the commission, it was really overwhelming. You'd read these agendas and it would have all this legalese and things move really, really slowly. And I've come to really enjoy that process. And I know that sounds silly,
that
but
it does.
I'm really into long meetings where you have to collaborate, you have to compromise, and you have to work with other people. And that, you know, I like that process. And, you know, my dad was an attorney, and I think that might be why I enjoy the legalese, because city government is really about laws and policy. And so that's kind of what we've been doing, and that's what city councilors do. And so I know I would be a good city councilor and help the city solve problems in this capacity.
I want to add to that when I talk about how creative people bring to the table problem solving is, and I think Monica is not only an amazing collaborator and can work, you know, with all different kinds of people, has, you know, really brokered many deals kind of with all bipartisan, really been able to just sit down with people that might have very different opinions and end up, you know, getting things done. And that's been really effective, but also that the open-mindedness when you're at the table to listen to people coming from different places and be open to different kinds of solutions. I've just really appreciated her skills in that. And I'm really looking forward to her being on the city council.
You know, that's wonderful. That's the kind of leadership we all need.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I love hearing myself through Mary's perspective, because Mary's been there the whole time. You know, Mary was the reason I even considered joining the commission, because she told me, oh, there's a seat open. And I was a stay-at-home mom at the time, and I wanted something positive to do with the community and to use my education uh-huh. towards. And I just really loved being there. But learning things from Mary has been an amazing opportunity. And so to hear her, that reflection of her about me, it humbles me. And brokering solutions is really what serving in city governance as a community member is all about, whether you're on council or whether you're on one of the boards and commissions, and that collaboration of community members coming together. That's what city government is.
Yes.
And so, yeah.
Well, and it's neat just having just the mentorship that age gives.
That's right.
I love that. And I see it too, you know, in my life, you know, that just because we've walked through some of this, it's nice to get together and move forward and make a difference.
And I think for me, something that age has brought me, I mean, I think I had natural tendencies in this way, but I recognize people's talents. I can see what they're good at and who they can work well with. And that's, you know, when Monica gives me those accolades, I think it's because she has everything it takes. But it's also, you know, it is true that I was able to recognize those talents in her and know that she would be good at this job, starting with the Arts Commission. And now, of course, with this pursuit of a higher office with the city council, I'm really happy that she's decided to step up.
Well, and Mary, you have been that person too, I think, in other ways, sort of the person behind the scene, but actually quite important.
Yeah.
I do like being, I'm a very people outgoing kind of person, but I'm not so comfortable. It's odd, but, you know, getting up in front of people and making speeches, but I do love getting everybody together, getting that get, you know, like think, okay, we can be a team. We can really all put all our resources together and make something good happen, you know, then I do. Thank you, Bobby. It's nice to be recognized for that.
Well, and that's a really important part.
Yes, absolutely.
You have to have it.
Absolutely.
More than anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
It's so great that you two are together.
Thank you.
It's great. So now, is there anything else you'd like to add? We'll go back and certainly remind everybody about the art tour. But is there any little thing that you want to add, Monica, about the foundation?
Well, that's what I was going to talk about. So one of the bits of advocacy that the foundation did in particular was the Our Hands sculpture that was built by Donna Billick was put up in the year 2000 when the new City Hall was built. It's made out of terrazzo, and terrazzo needs to be maintained every 10 years. And it was 15 years, it was at the 15-year mark, so 5 years overdue. The grout was cracking, all the ultraviolet protective seal was peeling, it looked faded. And the hands, which has become this icon for Chico, I don't know if they would have crumbled, but they certainly were in bad mm-hmm. disrepair. And so the advocacy of the Chico Arts and Culture Foundation, along with the work that I did as a commissioner, took this to council, and the council agreed to do the restoration on the Our Hands. And then they agreed to allocate annual funds for restoration of public works projects. And the Chico Arts and Culture Foundation, and Mary in particular, has partnered with the city on that, because we do the public art inventory. And so that is a list of all the public pieces of public art and their state of disrepair. So it prioritizes pieces that could be dangerous or pieces that are in threat of us losing them. And that's been an ongoing effort. And so it's just bits of advocacy like that the Chico Arts and Culture Foundation does to collaborate with Public Works in the city of Chico. And then we had an artist on the design team with Public Works, Robin Indar, came in, and she restored a lot of the luminary benches that are around town. Several were missing tiles and their skateboard mm-hmm. bumps. And she oversaw the work from Public Works as an artist to help restore those benches. Mm-hmm. And so it's just been a really great program, and that funding is still in play for fine art for public art restoration. And so that's just one little example of advocacy, you know, that we've done.
And people don't think, the whole picture of art, great, there it is, but you've got to maintain it.
Yeah.
You have to
protect the city's investment, because the city did invest money to build those things or participate in them and their production. And you have to invest a little money just to keep them going.
Yeah, absolutely.
And speaking of investment, Monica, could you talk a little bit about the impact study, the economic impact study? Because I think that's really an important piece, and to get that. And since this is a longer interview, I think Bobby could include a little bit about that.
Sure. So the Art Commission lost our city staff person, which was Mary. The city's budget was out of balance, and so a lot of cuts were made at City Hall. And on the Art Commission, the members of the Art Commission at the time volunteered to take a little bit of the money that's allocated to organizations to help pay for a collaboration with the Americans for the Arts to do an economic impact study. And so what commissioners did is we surveyed 53 different arts and culture foundations. We ran the data that we collected from doing those collections through the Americans for the Arts algorithm, and they were able to furnish us with a report, the city with a report that was presented at City Hall that proved that arts and culture organizations bring $17 million into the city of Chico annually. And a lot of that's money that gets generated in the community, that stays in the community, that gets reinvested in the community. And a lot of that is through nonprofit organizations. So it's volunteer work that's bringing a lucrative funding stream mm-hmm. to Chico. And that's huge. You know, and that study, even though it happened a few years ago, it's still relevant today, because a lot of those organizations are struggling without city support to maintain status quo. But also, it's just sort of overlooked and taken for granted that nonprofit organizations are just sort of there, they're fun, they're frivolous, but this shows that it brings real dollars into our city coffers.
Good to know all of that. I want to make sure that everybody out there remembers that it's this Saturday coming up.
Yes.
Saturday, October 1st.
At 10 a.m.
At 10 a.m.
At the Our Hands
School. The Hands.
In front of City Hall. That's right.
The hands that we all know.
Yeah. The hands we know and love.
That we know and love.
Nurturing and taking care of one another.
Right. Yes. And just and learn something about our town that you're going to, when you drive by and you see it, you're going to have a whole different feeling about it.
That's exactly right. That's said perfectly, Bobby. Thank you.
Okay. Wonderful. Both of you, thank you. Monica and Mary, I appreciate both of you very much.
What a great visit. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bobby. We appreciate your time. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye. You just heard a pre-recorded interview with Mary Gardner and Monica McDaniel from the Chico Arts and Culture Foundation, talking about their art tour for this Saturday, October 1st, meeting at the Hands at 10 in the morning. You can also go to their website at chicoartsandculture.org for more information. And if you would like to be on North State Give and Take, please text me or call me at 530-520-1593. I'd love to get you on the show. And if you'd like to listen to anything that I've done on North State Give and Take, you can go to KZFR, go to Programs, go to Tuesday, and then go down to North State Give and Take. And that's where they are. And they're all there. So you can look back and see what I've done. And you can be a part of this. Just give me a text, 530-520-1593. All right, stay tuned to your community radio station, KZFR 90.1 FM.
The Road, dedicated to sustaining the California story. I'm Kim Weir. We head into the California desert this week, wondering on the way about the difference between folk art and fine art. The line seems blurred and gets fuzzier the longer you consider it. The work of self-taught or traditional folk artists can be so fine, breathtaking, sublime, that its maker's lack of formal training seems a silly concern. Add to that the fact that well-schooled fine artists freely use the everyday objects, stories, and symbols of just plain folks to express more abstract meanings, and there you have the dilemma. What's the difference? You puzzle it out. One of California's formerly trained fine artists left, as part of his legacy, a huge open-air desert museum of junk art. Next time you're near the town of Joshua Tree, drop by for a stroll. It's free and open daily. The 10-acre Noah Purifoy Outdoor Desert Art Museum of Assemblage Sculpture is a masterwork of both personal and pointed social commentary, assembled by the artist during the 15 years he lived and worked here. As one measure of his stature in the official art world,